Hey, everyone, and welcome to the podcast of Narration by George, the podcast on audiobooks, spiritual ideas, and other items of interest. I pray you had a wonderful Resurrection Sunday, Easter Sunday. We spent Sunday morning in church where I was a part of the program. Each Easter, we do an original drama, which is part of the lesson for the morning. This year, I played the role of Nicodemus. If you don't remember, Nicodemus, along with Joseph of Arimathea, were the ones who buried Jesus in the now-empty tomb. The lesson of the morning? Something borrowed. What does borrowing have to do with Easter? Well, check out my Facebook page and look for the YouTube link to this lesson to find out. My Facebook page is called Narration by George, and while you're there, like the page if you haven't already done so. Speaking of social media, you can also find me on Twitter. My handle is @narrationbygeo. I'm also on Pinterest as Narration by George. Please follow me on either one of those. Drop me a line, tell me what you think of the podcast. I'd love to hear from you. Now, let's talk about a couple of audiobooks. Helping Hands Press has published a series of books set in the fictional town of Sweetland. The first one, which I recorded, is entitled Sunrise in Sweetland, and that's S-O-N Rise. It's very much an Easter story, which takes place around the Easter season. And if you're following my Twitter or Facebook feeds this week, I've got quotations from this book popping up at random. The book follows the escapades of Will Smith and Carly Parsons. Will is infected with foot and mouth disease and in typical manly fashion manages to mess up his engagement to Carly. Hence the title, The Short Engagement. What we see in this story is how God works in the lives of two very stubborn people to resurrect their love for each other and get the engagement back on. Here's a sample. Good Friday. Carly lifted the homemade wooden cross to her shoulder and began walking from the front of the community church to the library on Main Street. They'd stop, read a passage of scripture, and sing the old rugged cross. Someone else would carry the cross from there to the courthouse, where they'd read another scripture and sing another song, and so on until they reached the Assembly of God Church on the east side of the highway. Even though the 7-foot cross was hollow, it was still heavy. The way it cut into her shoulder made her wonder how Jesus must have felt. Even though what he carried was probably just the cross piece, it wasn't hollow like this imitation was. He'd suffered from a night of torture at the hands of experts in that field. Weary and weakened from no sleep and blood loss, it amazed Carly that he could have carried it as far as he did. But Simon of Cyrene had shouldered the cross for him. Carrying this hollow cross made it feel to her that maybe she in some way also shared his load. It was a privilege she'd look forward to each Good Friday since she graduated from high school. Tears rolled down her cheeks as they walked silently from one stop to the next. Her thoughts turned to her Lord and his suffering on that day of days. Such love was beyond her understanding. Nothing she could do for him would be equal to what he did for her and the whole world. She would do anything for Jesus. Anything. They made another stop. She lifted one of her hands to praise God as they sang, I Surrender All. Will you surrender your rights to me? My rights? What rights? The vision of herself with arms folded across her chest, her back to the phone, and an angry expression on her face flooded her mind. Oh, there is that. Okay, Lord, I give my right to be angry to you, and unforgiving, and a little stubborn, she grinned to herself. Okay, a lot stubborn. She couldn't call Will right now, but when she got home from work, that would be her first priority, unless she wimped out. Lord, This could take more courage than surrender. Will stared at the cell phone in his hand, willing it to ring. How long, Lord? Oh, yeah, she'd be at the crosswalk right now, and then at work. But afterwards, would she call then? He had asked in Jesus' name. Amiss. Will jumped. What was that? One of his students messing with him? That had to be it. He strode to the door and looked up and down the hall. They were probably in the restroom, giggling like girls over the teacher's jump and startled expression. Amiss. Amiss. He pulled a dictionary from the books lining the wall. In a mistaken or faulty way. A mental picture of himself surfaced. He stood before Jesus demanding what he wanted. Is that what he looked like to God? So was the word amiss used in the Bible? He wished the day were over so he could look it up. He glanced at the clock. 3.5 hours. He pulled his PB&J sandwich from the desk drawer and munched, his gaze unfocused. When he got home, the first thing Will did was pull the concordance and his new King James Bible from his bookshelf and take them to his table. Amiss. James, chapter 4. It didn't take him long to find the passage. Where do wars and fights come from among you? Do they not come from your desires for pleasure that war in your members? You lust and do not have. You murder and covet and cannot obtain. You fight and war, yet you do not have because you do not ask. You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss, that you may spend it on your pleasures. Blood drained from his face. He thought about that last conversation with Carly. Whoa, God, you nailed it. It wasn't her fault at all. It was my own stupid, selfish desires. He reached for the phone just as it rang. He jerked his hand back like it had been a snake, then eagerly grabbed the cell and read the LED. His smile probably lit up the whole room. The second book with a setting in Sweetland, I just completed it last week. It will be out shortly. Is called Summer in Sweetland, Never Too Old. It tackles a different issue, adoption. We meet the Evers family, a family with 6 adoptive children, including one who is in juvie after being accused of 2 crimes. They have a heart for children looking for their forever families, particularly those that might be considered too old for adoption. And again, you'll see quotations from this book coming up on both Twitter and Facebook later in this week. This book was number 1 in Amazon's Hot New Release in several different categories, including adoption, within 24 hours of being released. So here's a sample. Celia and Homer chatted in hushed tones while waiting to get through security at the Rosebriar County Courthouse. Her phone began to buzz in her pocket. She pushed a button and held it to her ear. What? You're kidding. Okay, thanks for letting me know. She pressed end and looked woefully at Homer. Today's courtrooms have been reversed. Judge Stevens will preside over the dependency cases, while Judge Robbins will hear the delinquency cases, including Billy's hearing. I'm so disappointed. He'll never listen to you. He's going to throw the hammer at Billy and Terrell, she said, tears threatening her eyes. Don't work yourself up, see? We need to trust the outcome to God, not whatever judge is up to bat. Besides, won't having Judge Stevens on the foster side be better for your cases today? Well, yes, that's true. Still, I feel like Billy had at least a fighting chance before. Now I feel... Her voice trailed off as she saw Officer Randall Livingston stride purposefully down the hall past security. Oh, great. That seals it, she murmured. It had been 45 minutes since the lunch break, and Celia was still waiting for her 4 cases to be called. Court days were so frustrating. Hurry up and wait, as they say. The door to the waiting room opened, and Wendy stepped in with a young woman who must have been her caseworker. She shyly waved to Celia and took a seat, pulling a book from her backpack. Celia scooted closer to Wendy and asked how school was going.
It's okay. I'm having a little trouble with a few classes, but it'll work out.
I see you're reading the Epic of Sanjara. That's a powerful story. Wendy's eyes lit up.
Really? You know it? I love ancient stories. I guess that makes me odd, but I see so many parallels with my own life. It's fascinating that a story told so long ago could help me understand my life better than most of the people who know me. I mean, the way Sanjara had to move around so much after being exiled, it's a lot like life in foster care. I'm thinking of majoring in African studies if I get to go to college, but people tell me I wouldn't be able to use that degree for any real-world jobs.
Wendy sighed as the door opened, and the court clerk ushered another caseworker with three children into the courtroom. Wendy wrote a note and passed it to Celia.
Is it true that teenagers like me can be adopted? My caseworker says I'm too old. She wants me to sign up for a supervised independence program and get an apartment, but I'm not so sure I'm ready for that.
Hastily, Celia scribbled on the back of the note and passed it back to Wendy.
Never too old. Tell the judge you want a family. He'll listen.
After Celia's cases were completed, Wendy's case was called. Celia gave the girl a smile she hoped was encouraging and whispered a quick prayer that the judge would listen to this sweet girl's heart and desire for a family.
Please, Lord, I know you want Wendy to have a family of her own, a family for a lifetime. Open the doors for her today. Let her see that, unlike Sanjara, she has not been exiled. You have a place and a family for her.
And so you've heard a sample of life in Sweetland. Come join me in this town and fill in the details in these two books. They are both available at Helping Hands Press. Just go to their website, myhelpinghandspress.com. Click on the cart icon and then search for Sweetland. Or check my website, narrationbygeorge.com. Click on books to locate these and all the books I have currently available. Well, thanks for joining me today for the Narration by George podcast, Life in Sweetland. Hope you've enjoyed it. Join me next week as we take a look at devotionals I've recorded. See you then.